Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, we introduce you to Marty Emineau, who's the Director of Operations and Communications for the Golf Association of Philadelphia. So stay tuned to get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones. Welcome to the show. So glad you'd be along. This week, it's been crazy. We've been in the Philadelphia area. Of course, that's where the PGA Championship's going on at Romanek, which is a Dental Ross design course, which is pretty sweet in itself. And you don't get a chance to play that very often. But I got an invitation to play at Jeffersonville Golf Club. Where is that? Well, it's in Pennsylvania, believe it or not, but it's also a Donald Ross gem, and it was great to get the invitation. Actually, my PA buddy, Pete Kowalski, asked me personally back in January at the merchandise show in Orlando, of all places, and I'm thinking, okay, let me get that on there. It's not till May, Pete? Yeah, it's May. Can you do that for me? Sure. I'll make sure. And sure enough, somehow we pulled it off. We did it for Pete Kowalski, and along the way, what happens? Well, you meet people, right? So it was put on by the Golf Association of Philadelphia. So great people at the association, also known as GAP. So when I say GAP this hour, that's what I mean. I don't mean the clothing store. I don't mean the Delaware GAP, Delaware Water GAP. I don't mean any of the other GAPs going around in Pennsylvania. We're talking about Philadelphia, specifically the Golf Association of Philadelphia. And the director of operations said, hey, I would love to come on your show. So he's going to join us in just a moment because it was such a good event. And I've played partial courses before, and we didn't play all 18. So they said, hey, let's go easy on you on Tuesday and not have you play the whole course, because at that end of the day, which could be long, it could be rough for you. So thank you very much for that. And one of the guys who did it, who spearheaded it, was Marty Emineau. And Marty joins us on Teed Up with Keith Jones. And Marty, I appreciate it because it's great to spend some time with you. I watched you work the room. I said, this guy is Director of Operations and Communications, and you can see why. So thanks for coming on, and thanks for the invitation to the event.
Yeah, Keith, thanks for having me on. And so from Aronimink to Jeffersonville, as you said, it's only about a 10 miles as the crow flies. So pretty close together there.
Yeah, that's interesting that, you know, Donald Ross would design a course so close to one another. And obviously, from our standpoint, he's a king of the Northeast. We're originally from the Northeast, so it's near and dear to our heart anytime that happens. There's some great golf in Pennsylvania in general. Obviously, Pittsburgh, that area west, has its great golf courses as well and such. But there's something about golf in that part of Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, particularly, because when people talk to me about Philadelphia, they're talking about the football team, talking about the baseball team, talking about the hockey team, they're talking about the basketball team, and you know, sometimes they don't want to talk about the basketball team. But that aside, golf doesn't usually come up in conversation. But you guys are really spearheading great efforts in Philadelphia area.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that revolves around the Philadelphia School of Architecture. You know, back in the day, back when golf was getting popular in America, a lot of those guys kind of resided around here. Tillinghast, Ross, Flynn, George Thomas, Hugh Wilson of Marion fame, George Crump. We know him across the river with Pine Valley. And all those guys were here. And obviously now we are benefiting from their vision from back in the day.
Well, you mentioned Marion. I've got to see our guy, Shefty, Mark Shefty, who's over at Sunnybrook, and spend a little time with him, which was great. But I met him at Marion years ago now at the U.S. Open, because you never know who you're going to meet on the driving range, which is usually where we hang out. It's a good place.
That's the good spot. You get to see guys never miss a shot on the driving range, right? Everything's perfect.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I tell you, and I appreciate you putting me together with the group that I had. Now, Chill Moody is I guess he's a social media kind of guy, and his cameraman was all over the place. I'm not a big fan of playing in front of people, but when the camera's on you, that's next level stuff. So it's like, all the good shots and not so good shots are recorded for prosperity, and we're not sure how we're going to prosper, but from the same standpoint, we're never sure. Now, we also played with young Jack Flanagan, who hosts Inside Golf on NBC Sports Philly, which is great. Great guy. We had things going on and stuff. We're probably going to do something with him later in the year, golf-wise. But a guy who didn't show up was Pat Gallen from CBS. Now, I figured out finally why we only had three guys playing in our group. It's because Pat was so intimidated by knowing that Jack was going to be playing in our group, he just decided not to show up. That's what TV guys do.
Either that or I saw the piece he did on Jim Nance. Maybe it was a little busy that day.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe he's a little busy. You never know. speaking of Nance, the Golf Course Architects Association going to give him the award, the annual award they give out. So good job for our buddy Nance, who's obviously been at it for a long time and 40-ish years. We don't like to age him. He gets a little sensitive. We never bring up age and we talk to Nance because no matter who you are, your time is limited on this planet, professionally especially.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't want to be Jim Nance, right? Probably has the best job in America, especially when he was doing basketball and football and golf. I know he's given basketball up, but Jim's been great. Jim's a member of GAP. He belongs to the place on Ardmore Avenue in Marion. So we get to see him infrequently, but he is just a quick plug. Jim is doing a fundraiser up here at White Marsh Valley Country Club, who he spoke highly about during the Truist broadcast last year. They're doing a benefit for the Nance Alzheimer Center in Houston, Texas at White Marsh Valley. So great to see that he's obviously very close to him with what happened to his dad and doing some stuff in the local community to get the word out and fundraise.
Yeah, it's all about the game. I've met so many great people through this show, and I never thought about it back in March of 1998 when I started this show. We've lost a number of our guests over the years to the other side of the ether sphere, if you will. But having been very fortunate over the years to have guys like Ely Callaway on the show. And so, some of the golfing greats like Lee Elder and so people that change the face of golf. And it's so interesting. And so I can't put a word on it. I'm just so honored and so pleased, et cetera, about being able to talk about this great sport for so many years and meeting people like yourself, Marty, and organizations like GAP that do such great things. Now, people outside of Philadelphia and obviously the people listening in the PA area can appreciate what you got going on. For those outside of the area, outside of the state and such, it's really yeoman's work that you guys are doing, because not only do you have a great mid-amateur tournament coming up next week at Jeffersonville, which is part of why we were out there, obviously, but you also do great things with adaptive golf and really the spreading the word with the juniors and getting golfers started early and stuff. I mean, obviously, Philadelphia area specifically is a huge media market, and it's also heavily populated, especially when you get into the suburbs and Westchesters, et cetera, up in Philadelphia area.
Yeah, I mean, I can give you the quick elevator pitch. So the Golf Association of Philadelphia, GAP, was founded in 1897. It is the oldest state or regional golf association in the country. And we were second for golf, only behind the USGA, which was created just prior to GAP. So we have services. We have 145,000 members now at 345 member clubs. Our territory ranges from State College, Pennsylvania, out where Penn State is, all the way east, southern half of New Jersey, and the entire state of Delaware. And what we do is we run programming for members of male and female, kids and seniors, good players, net players like you and me, Keith. I hate to say that out loud. And as well as member services for our clubs. to make sure that they can do their daily work and, you know, just try to make a difference within the community. And two things that you mentioned there briefly, just 3 years ago, we started an adaptive championship as well as clinics for the adaptive community, which are free. So anybody with a disability can participate. We have equipment. We have instructors. We work with them on how they can swing a golf club, how they can hit a ball. And that's obviously, in addition to just being a great service, obviously very fulfilling for everybody involved, right? I mean, how can it not be? And then we have the Youth on Course program, which is a national program. But in the Philadelphia area, we have more than 50 courses participating, more than 15,000 active juniors. And for them, they get to play one of those 50 courses for $5 or less, you know, with some restrictions, but a very affordable and very easy way to get into the game, basically cost-free.
Well, I want to talk about affordability as we go throughout the show. I won't really touch on it right now, but that is a huge, huge issue. And the governing bodies like the USGA have been looking for years and years and years how to get more people involved with the game. And that, to me, that four-letter word cost always comes to the top of my mind, not for everybody that way. So, again, congratulations and kudos to you guys for doing those kind of things to allow accessibility for the game, because that's how you grow this great game. You've got to get people involved, no matter whether they play or they're working at a course or whatever it is. If they're just interested in finding out about this great game, that's the mission right there.
Yeah, and the exposure for the game is at an all-time high. You know, it's on TV all the time, you know, 24 hours a day if you get the Golf Channel, but on the national networks. And it's really transitioned now with the world of social media, which I know some things are good. Probably 75% is kind of bad. That's probably not a great way to put it.
Pretty good. That's pretty good way, communications director.
Yeah. Well, it's better than me telling you it's hot garbage out there, right?
Yeah.
But anyways, you know, it's a message that touches a whole different group and is really kind of the young generation's way entry into the game. Seeing people play the game, seeing people talk about the game, seeing video instruction online. Hey, I think I want to try that. I think I can do that. And you know, you can either go to a real golf course or you can go to places like Top Golf and kind of just swing the golf club and see what it's like. But yeah, I mean, the more people you can get involved, obviously the better the game will be in the long term.
Well, I was talking to young Jack Flanagan, a member of my outing, about that, because obviously we both do TV of the traditional form from that standpoint. But Jack was telling me what they do. I said they do a lot of stories, which I love, the public interest stories, the personal side of it. I said, do you play a lot of golf? He says, no, I don't play golf. I'm doing the interviews, or I'm doing different stories about different places and things like that. And I said, well, good for you, because the rub is with social media, look, everybody wants to play free golf. So the poor courses and everybody involved with the game get inundated with these requests and these things, and it's overwhelming. And, you know, we're still a little on the newer side of digesting and qualitatively finding out, you know, the value and that kind of thing. But, you know, I hear all the time about the bombardment of requests, and I'm like, yeah, that's fine. You want to invite us out to do whatever, we're happy to do that, to support it, whatever. You get to play, that's icing on the cake. It's about the mission, and it's about the story. It's not about getting out on the course and you know, getting your golf comped all the time. It's, you know, it's unfortunately kind of where things have gone from that, and that's kind of the realm of social media. But we are fortunate to have Marty Emineau with us. He is the Director of Operations and Communications at GAP. We'll be back.
This is Justin Leonard, and you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones.
It's a pleasure to have this guest on and spend some time with Marty Amino, Director of Operations and Communications. He's a good communicator, if you couldn't tell already in the first segment, but we're set to wear him out in the hour that lies ahead on Teed Up with Keith Jones. But he's okay. He's ready for it. I saw him work a room. He worked a room like a master, you know. And this is with Pete Kowalski sitting at a table. So, you know, if you can outdo Kowalski on any days, that's saying something there.
He is retired. Don't forget that.
No, he's not retired. That's true. He does projects. You're right. I understand that. Hey, Pete has put his time in. I met him so many years ago. I hate to say so many because that kind of ages everybody. But he did great work at the USGA with Marty Parks and different guys that can name drop and Suzanne on the female guy side. You know, so it was a great group of people at the USGA. It's turned over and things have changed. Like everything happens in business and life, whether you're ready for it or not.
Yeah, we love Pete. And Pete certainly did a great job helping us out with that event at Jeffersonville, kind of getting word out about, what Gap is doing, in particular when it comes to, getting a public facility to host a major championship.
Well, that's a big deal. And again, next week it's the Mid-Amateur hosted by Gap, the Golf Association of Philadelphia, and Marty's already working on that. The tournament's going to run for a couple days, so kind of lay that out in this segment, the Mid-Amateur, what it is as a tournament and what it means to the area and then how the tournament's going to actually happen before our eyes.
Yeah, so the Mid-Amateur, by definition, when the USGA was kind of creating this event about 50 years ago and when Gap kind of hopped on board, it's for the working class guy, the guy with a job, the guy with family, the guy who, when he goes to the range, he's bringing his 5-year-old son, they're hitting balls for 20 minutes and then they got to go. So it's really about, the working class guy, playing some championship golf. For us, typically the middle amateurs are guys who, played in college, have some sort of background playing high level amateur golf, and are looking to kind of continue that as their family and work kind of, takes over their life. So for us, it's 25 years of age and older. That's the crew. Field is 144 players. We play 18 holes on the first day on Wednesday. We cut to the low 48 in ties. And on day two, we play 36 holes in twosomes. No repair. They have about 30 minutes in between rounds. So we'll finish probably around 6:30, 6:45, and we'll crown a middle amateur champion. This is the 43rd edition of it, and the names on the middle amateur trophy and Gap are pretty much a who's who that some of your listeners might know. Probably the name that they know the best would be a guy like Michael McDermott, who now serves as the marker at a place down in Augusta, Georgia, and has made his way onto TV a couple times. But he's won the middle amateur championship 4 times, Michael McDermott has. So good crew, quality field. We will crown a good champion. And Keith, as you know from playing that golf course last week, you're going to need to golf your ball a little bit if you're going to hold the hardware at the end.
Well, it's interesting you say that because working class golf, working class people, and Philadelphia do sometimes come together. It's almost that match made in heaven, and you put Gap behind it. So it represents a lot of things about that are Philadelphia.
It's the blue collar event, if you want to call it that. And just kind of a quick funny story is that when we were talking about going to Jeffersonville to a public facility about 3 years ago now, there was talk in the office of, what would happen if entries weren't what we would want them to be. How are people going to receive going to a public golf course? And they responded by having a record number of entries for the middle amateur, and 457 people tried to qualify and play in the event. So the response has been fantastic. In our area, Keith, kind of like where you are, primarily a lot of our members are private golf club members. That's just the way it is up here. That won't change, but we'll have more availability coming down the pike with Cobbs Creek getting online, with Jeffersonville and all the great things they've done there. There's a few other golf courses who continue to improve and get better and are available to the public. But yeah, I mean, this will be a good championship. And the guy that wins will likely, you know, have to go take a phone call in the parking lot or head to his son or daughter's softball / baseball game.
Well, that is golf in reality. I mean, it's, as Marty mentioned a little bit earlier in the show, it is a growth sport now, and it's family oriented and everything else, everything it was meant to be. And Marty's with us this hour. Marty Emineau is the director of operations and communications for Gap. We'll be back the second half hour after this.
The Dalai Lama. If I'm on a first tee, what am I giving the driver? He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter.
The Lama.
Long. Into a 10,000-foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga Galunga.
Now we start our second half hour of the show, joined by Marty Emineau, Director of Operations and Communications. He wears a lot of hats there. It's more than that. He's watching work a room. It's unbelievable. The Golf Association of Philadelphia next week hosting the Mid-Am. It is a huge event and huge for Jeffersonville Golf Club. And let me tell you about Jeffersonville Golf Club. It is a piece of art designed by Don Ross, and I've never been to a golf course that has a marquee out front. And thank goodness they did. I would have driven right by the course. So from that standpoint, I thanked them for that. It was great to see that. But that was a little bit unusual for me, Marty.
Yeah. Well, it is a municipal golf course. It's owned and operated by West Norwood Township, which is just outside of Philly. And like we said when we opened the show, Keith, it's only about 10 miles as the crow flies from where Rodman Golf Club is. In Newtown Square, so where they're hosting a major championship there. That'll be the second best major that gets hosted in this area in a week's time. Ours obviously the first. And Jeffersonville back in the day used to be a steeplechase horse racing training center track, believe it or not. And then got bought out in 1919. And then in the late 20s, they brought in Donald Ross to convert the property to a golf course, and what you see is what you get, and it's pretty spectacular.
That makes total sense now. I mean, I definitely felt like I was at the races. There was no with that that marquee. That's a piece of history right there. It still works very well. It's automated now, and it's electrified and such, so they can change it without the guy getting up there like the Fenway scoreboard and changing it manually that way. So that worked out very well. But the golf in that part, the eastern part of Pennsylvania, is amazing from the standpoint. There's so many courses, so many gems that people are just unaware of. I mean, I got a chance to, I mentioned Shefty earlier in the show, Mark Sheftick, who I met at Marion a number of years ago, is over at Sunnybrook. So I had to go over to Plymouth Meeting. That's the name of the town, Plymouth yep. Meeting, two words, Pennsylvania, and see Shefty. We've been over there before, but it's always good to see him. You're in the area, that kind of, that type of thing. But this is what I'm talking about. And getting to Sunnybrook was like, you know, hit this road. Are you sure going down the right road? And you know, even though I've been there a few times before, I still, I don't know. I'm so glad we didn't have the paper maps anymore.
World's colliding right there because the Gap Amateur, our next major, is at.
Huh.
Sunnybrook.
See how I tied that together? Oh, you people.
Yeah, well played. Thank you.
So when is that coming up? Let's just skim that a little bit to talk about that.
Yeah, that can give you two sentences on that. That is the week of Father's Day. It's the same week as the U.S. Open. Our final is on Saturday. It is the 126th Philadelphia Amateur. So we are older by one day because we finished first before the U.S. Open. Same age.
Wow. Okay. U.S. Open, Shinnecock Hills, Philly Am. You know, but in all seriousness, with the Philadelphia Amateur being played there, it's how does that come together? And I mean, we've had a lot of tournament directors on the show over the years, and people behind the scenes and stuff. But there's a lot of work that goes into that, Marty.
Yeah, Yeah, and just before I get to that thought, I'll tell you that our Open Championship, so the Philadelphia Open, is going to Lancaster Country Club, which everyone, you know, your listeners know from hosting the U.S. Women's Open a couple times in the last decade. And then our Patterson Cup, which is a stroke play championship, is going to a place called Tavistock Country Club in New Jersey. But really, what happens with all that stuff is, you know, it's a little bit of what you talked about earlier, clubs feeling, clubs trying to give back to the game, and what's the best way for them to give back to the game and to the association. So part of that is them donating their golf course time for us to conduct our championships or in any event. We have more than 200 events this year in GAP, and we'll have more than 100 courses who will take time to give us their facility to conduct said event. But for the major events like that, like the U.S. Open and all that, it's just about planning. You get on, you have meetings, you talk about it, the club wants to do it, you get it on the calendar, you kind of lock it in stone way ahead of time. So that way, if there's any transition at clubs, nothing becomes, you know, falls in the gray area. But, you know, you just kind of plan it out. Here's what we're going to do. Thanks for signing on. And here we go. And then, you know, it rolls up on you pretty quickly. You know, Marion's got the 2030 U.S. Open. Seems like a long time away from now, but, you know, those 4 years will go fast.
And no question about that, Marty. Now, I know that the president of GAP, Ken Phillips, is a member over at Lancaster. Was that an inside job? Did Ken put that? Did he pull that string and say, "Okay, it's happening"?
Well, yeah. I mean, yes. It's also kind of the culmination of all the efforts that he's put through, not only with GAP but at the club level. Ken was the president of Lancaster Country Club, and he was the president when it turned 125 years ago. So he's very influential at the club. And the cool thing about Ken is he worked at the club as a kid with his brother. They rode their bikes across the fairway from their house that was behind the club. He worked in the pro shop. He worked on the grounds crew. He worked in the bag room. His brother worked the same jobs. And they went all through kind of high school up into college working at Lancaster, and then he gets to be a member there. You know, later on in life.
Yeah, he looks pretty young. I can't believe he did all that in his career. A young looking guy. So, you know, usually those of us that get out and play golf, we age a little bit more prematurely than the Ken Phillips looked like. But okay, I'll go with that. It's a sharp dresser and such. So, GAP as an organization, you said 1897, I believe, is what I had committed to memory. And so, why does it form? What's the attraction? What is GAP trying to do? Historically speaking, obviously it's a legacy organization, but at the beginning, what happened?
So I was not around, and neither were you.
What?
But as the story goes, in the year prior, in 1896, golf was kind of, you know, getting popular or just starting to come to this country. And members of Devon Golf Club, which is no longer around, and Philadelphia Cricket Club played a match. And as the word goes in history, the match was so enjoyed by all that they determined they needed to create an association to continue that. Ironically, Devon Golf Club never made it to the next year, but Philadelphia Cricket Club did, and they were joined by members of Philadelphia Country Club, Marion Cricket Club, which obviously became Marion Golf Club, and Belmont Golf Association, which is Aronimate Golf Club, believe it or not. So members from those four clubs each sent two representatives, although there was only seven at the first meeting because a gentleman from Marion Cricket Club couldn't make it. And they said, hey, we're going to form this thing called the Golf Association of Philadelphia. And we're putting it together to promote, protect, and preserve the game of golf in the Philadelphia area. The very first thing that they did, that match, they expanded on that match. That match became then the team matches, which we call it today. It used to be called the Suburban League matches. It's gone through a couple name transformations. But basically, that's the season opener for golf in our area. It's called the team matches, and we have this year, we had 400 clubs participating. 400 teams from 176 member clubs, and on three successive weekends, typically, it's a Sunday. 12-man teams, six go home, six go on the road, and they play golf. And it was initially created for camaraderie and all that fun stuff. You know, the top division obviously is a little more competitive, but still, it's a cool way for you as a member of said club to go to three other facilities, meet new people. Really, those you normally become like a friend or an associate with somebody, and you get to see three new golf courses.
Yeah, that works out pretty good. You know, that is, life is all about relationships. You don't find this out until much later in life. But golf personifies that. I mean, it's amazing that you cross paths with so many people of different walks of life, and been fortunate on this show to have some great guests that you would think would have nothing to do with golf. You know, musicians want to be golfers, golfers want to be musicians, you know, and then it kind of comes together like that, and you just never know. And you can't judge a book by its cover, especially if you play the munis. If you're playing the municipal courses, the public courses, guys are going to dress a little bit differently, but they still bring some stick with them.
Yeah, and those team matches are, you know, the foundation of what Gap is and what Gap does, with camaraderie, competition, you know, friendliness, all that good stuff. It's the most anticipated event that we run. You know, that competition ended last week with Lulu Country Club up in Glenside, Pennsylvania, taking the title. And everybody always wants to know where they go in the next year. And it's only May, you know, so those schedules don't come out to February, but it's, I mean, golf, the team matches for us is what golf is all about.
I want to turn the corner a little bit and get back to the adaptive side, because I've been around Dennis Walters and watched him, and he's got a number of awards later in his career, in his life, because the guy suffered an accident and still went on to play tremendous golf, and to you know, currently plays tremendous golf. And then I've been around a bunch of members of the military, and these guys have artificial legs and arms and prosthetics of different types, but they hit the heck out of the ball. So again, talking about can't judge a book by its cover, and it's really a great place for them to go mentally. You know, you're on the golf course, you got to concentrate on your game and your surroundings and stuff. I tell people I've prayed more on the golf course than I ever did in a church. But when you're out there and it's so surreal, I didn't see that much wildlife. Jeffersonville is a little wide open, so I didn't see any deer, and I didn't see any raccoons or any possums or anything, any foxes or anything that might run around. Generally speaking, probably because all the golf balls flying around from all over the place. You know, they took cover on that one. I totally got that. I had to take cover a couple of times myself, but the general consensus is with the guys, the service members is that they find a great outlet that they didn't have before.
Yeah, I mean, adaptive programming, you know, that's been kind of a push by the USGA. You know, I think the national championship is held down by UKIP, typically, down at Woodmont, right? That's down your way. And, you know, it's spectacular. It's all the kind of buzzwords that you think. I just think it's unbelievable. If you just sit on a tee and watch people hit the golf ball with various levels of disability, you'd be amazed. And then you basically walk away from there saying, I really have nothing to complain about, whether it's in life or with your golf game, because there's really, you know, no excuse.
Right. Nice job, Marty. Because we're talking to Marty Emineau, who just laid it out as good as it could be. He's like, he's a co-host of this show now at this point. That was so eloquently put. That's exactly right. You come away with this enlightenment, like, what am I complaining about? Well, I complain about my golf swing sometimes, but you know, these guys it's just phenomenal. You just never know. This is an unbelievable, amazing game that we try to play.
Yeah, and our adaptive brings together, you know, a great kind of mix of players of various disabilities and various levels. All are pretty good for the most part. But, you know, from single-limb amputees to double-limb amputees to seated players, to those with mental disabilities. It's pretty remarkable. Just again, watching them play golf. And this year, we're very excited. In our third iteration, we're going to Atlantic City Country Club in mid-October, October 14th and 15th. 60 of the world's best, and that's not a misstep. They are the world's best disabled golfers. You know, adaptive golfers will be competing in the GAP Adaptive Championship. Two rounds, 36 holes. It's always special to cover. You know, and they're just like the guys that you see on TV. You know, they want to win. They hit golf shots. They make putts. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, it is astounding to watch any of that stuff. In person is blows your mind. Watching it, you know, on video or television or whatever is one thing. But to see that in person, it's just... it's jaw-dropping. Can't even put words on it right now. Jaw-dropping.
Yeah, so we had a guy last year. Our championship was in a place called Indian Valley Country Club, which is a little bit about a half hour from our office. And a gentleman by the name of DeGarabia won the championship for the men. And he's a member there. So that was pretty cool, like home club guy. And they showered him with champagne at the end during the award ceremony. But we got to know David the year before, when our championship was held at Lookaway in Doylestown, and he happened to be near the lead or toward the lead, and we did a video package on him, and we were asking about, he's a single leg amputee, and we were asking him, you know, what happened to you? And he was like, yeah, I was playing football, got hit in the side, lost my leg, wrestled in college, no big deal, now I play golf. Like, and you're like, oh my, like, okay, like, I think I'm traumatized, but if you're not, then I guess I shouldn't be. You know, all those stories are kind of like that. It's not really a disability. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. Once an athlete, always an athlete, no matter in your mind or what have you. And it's a mindset. I mean, that's the thing that gets lost on people that play golf. Sometimes there's so much more mental side that goes into it, right? It's not just all physical. If you can hone your swing, that's fantastic, but you've got to keep your mind in the game because it's so easy to wander in different directions.
Yeah, and just giving people the opportunity, the access, I think we've briefly touched on access, you know, and what a hurdle that can be for some, but just giving people the opportunity with our adaptive play days to come out, swing a golf club, get some instruction. Just kind of a quick anecdotal story. There's a gentleman who was chair of our communications committee by the name of Jack Wallace. He's a member of Riverton Country Club. And for all you NFL fans, that's where Jake Elliott, the Eagles kicker, is a member. And he's a scratch golfer, FYI. But anyways, Jack Wallace brought his mom out, who hadn't swung a golf club in like 15 years. She has a little bit of some hand issues. And you know, they gave her a glove, some gloves, special gloves, fixed her up at an adaptive clinic, and now she plays golf once a week over at Riverton.
Yeah, it's a great, great story.
So good stuff like that happens, and we're just happy to be part of it.
Yeah, we're talking about Marty Emineau, who's talking about being part of it. He is the Director of Operations and Communications for GAP. Back to wrap up the show with Marty and talk about that cost, four-letter word, when we come back. Now we brought it full circle, as Marty Emineau so eloquently did in the last segment as we went through the break, and accessibility. And GAP, the Golf Association of Philadelphia, has done a phenomenal job about that. But not everybody can do that across the country, across the world, across the Americas or what have you, Marty. You guys have just continued to almost perfect what goes on. But it does come down to cost of the game. Obviously, equipment is outrageously priced. Greens fees can be pretty high. Even any of you play nice munis, they get to $75 plus per round, and it's a lot, especially if you want to get the youth involved and such. So you guys have put some initiatives in place, which is great, but how does one as an entity or as an aspiring person who's interested in playing the game of golf deal with that cost?
Well, if I knew how to do that, Keith, well, I would be not on this phone call with you.
Okay. He'd be living on one of the three islands. Yes, I got you. Marty, you're really good. I just want to see how really, really good you were, but point well taken, my man. Go ahead.
I would say for this, if you're a kid, 18 years of age or younger, youth on course or first tee programs around the country are fantastic, or even the professional sections around the country, where the golf pros are members and they do their teaching, that would be the place to start. Everybody right now is understanding what hurdles are out there, and that helping people kind of overcome those, I would say is maybe not as hard as the past. You just kind of have to work at it. First Tee has they take care of everything, clubs, equipment, instruction, the whole nine yards. The Youth on Course program, they take care of kind of the access. If you're a kid who has some golf clubs and wants to play, with the $5, or less per round option. And even sections around the country are willing to help kids do what they can to get out there and play. I don't think there's, kind of one, golden bullet kind of solution, golden theory, golden ticket, if you will. But if you're willing to kind of, grind it out in a sense, or do some research, figure out what's your best option, that's probably the best option for anybody listening to your show.
All right, that's well put. I appreciate that, Marty. So back to GAP, so people understand. So the Golf Association of Philadelphia formed in 1897, and a long time ago. How did you get involved? Why did you get involved? And going forward, what else can GAP do? And I don't mean specifically with the youth or what have you. I just mean as an organization. Obviously, the mission is to promote the game of golf, preserve whatever's going on, and to protect the game for the great meaning that it is to people that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for me, just a quick thumbnail on me, I was went to the University of Miami and was broadcast journalism, got into print journalism more than broadcast, and ended up moving up to the Philadelphia area, working for some newspapers here, and then GAP had an opening for the communications director job 26 years ago, and I was fortunate enough to get hired. And we've grown a lot since then. When I started, we had 6 people on staff. We now have 31 people on staff. When I started, we had less than 60,000 members, and now we're at 140,000 members. So great expansion through the years. And for us, we're always just looking to build A, on past successes, and B, kind of catch the wave of what's coming next. One thing that we do, we have a charitable arm of the association called the J. Wood Platt Caddy Scholarship Trust. And what that does is allow kids who have a financial need and who caddy or work, in the bag room, in the pro shop, at the club, an opportunity to apply for financial assistance and receive a scholarship money to go to college. So that's one program that we continually try to look to expand. We have 220 Platt scholars, as we call them, receiving some sort of benefit, some sort of financial assistance to go to college. We have that adaptive programming. We have a youth on course that we continue to push just to get in front of more people. The biggest thing for us is exposure. We have 140,000 members. The real question is, how many people play golf that aren't a member?
I'll tell you how smart my guest has been this hour. The guy got out of the print business and into an organization promoting golf. Papers, newspapers are going away continuously, and golf is only growing. But we're out of time. Special thanks to Marty Emineau, Director of Operations and Communications for GAP. Thanks for joining us. Get out there and practice your game. practice, practice, take your game to the next level, and we will talk to you next week. Take care.